This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
You heard Jim Rome just mention it a second ago. We were talking about it earlier as well as we bring on Jeremy Wu from Sports Illustrated to talk about the NBA playoffs as well as the NBA draft now we've gotten the lottery out of the way. But Jeremy, I've always wondered, because I know baseball has them, but does the NBA have unwritten rules that people don't talk about?
Yeah, for a recent example, you can kind of point to, the situation with everyone's debating was Zaza Pachulia's closeout dirty. I think there's a line between, what's dirty and what's not and what's playing hard. But I do think, and obviously I've never played in the NBA, didn't do it. So I don't know, couldn't tell you everything that's going on. But I mean, that's one example you can point to. I mean, I think there's some understanding between players about, what's acceptable and what's not when it comes to, player safety. And I mean, you can draw a parallel to the whole, everything that's been going on with baseball, the debate we've been having.
And it's weird because I know in baseball, you get your pitcher on the mound, he throws a fastball at the guy's butt, it hits him, he goes to first base, no big deal. How do you retaliate in the NBA? Do you just get a technical? Do you foul him hard? Like, what's the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's tough because, I think, you don't want to do anything dangerous. And I think that, sometimes you'll see a hard foul, back and forth, but it's not, for some reason in baseball, with the way the game is constructed, it's just like, you see these like never ending things like where does the buck stop, with hitting batters and where do we say it's okay to stop. In the NBA, I think there's less of that, just because I think it is a more physical game. I think you can't really hide behind the structure of the game. You're always bumping heads, and it's a physical game the whole time.
And as we're talking to you right now, just a couple of minutes ago, You tweeted out an article that some Argentine company is accusing LeVar Ball of, like, plagiarism. What is that about?
Oh, yeah, that thing is stupid, man. so I guess I just found out about this today, and I was seeing it in the little post. But there's a company in Argentina called Baller Brand. I guess that's mad about Big Baller Brand. So yeah, you can see why that's probably not a thing. But I think it's a publicity thing for them, probably.
So yeah, it's just like whenever, like for me, I always look at it from like WWF, the new, what is WWF now, when they sued WWF, the wrestling organization, it was like, okay, yes, you get it. But at the same time, that let people know what you were when nobody had a clue of what you were before.
Right. Like Sports Illustrated, we're not going to be like, hey, Fox Sports, like you stole our name. You got the word sports. Like, you know what I mean?
You've got one like of that. The names that we use. We're going to sue you for it. And that all is connected now to the NBA draft, because I remember, and I know it was the Patrick Ewing draft. Like, you remember the card that was bent a little bit? Like, you continue to hear about that in history on it. Like, I almost feel like, and not me personally, but why are people saying that the draft and the lottery was rigged so that the Lakers could get number two?
Yeah, I think it's just, I think, like you said, stemming back with, the Ewing thing, where people are always sort of looking back at, the film from that draft. And, with the way the lottery's worked, people like conspiracy theories. I think people kind of gravitate to it. It's kind of fun to talk about, even if it's kind of not true. But there have been so many instances in the NBA where you can, like, for some reason, you can just always draw these, like, kind of loose, lines between different things.
Yeah.
So, people are saying, they sent Magic to the lottery, and, we're not going to make Magic go home without a pick. And, and then they had the Celtics, Lakers, and Sixers, three big market franchises, finishing the top three. You can point to different things, throughout the course of the last, a decade and a half or whatever, in terms of lotteries that were, like when the Bulls, for example, won the lottery and Derrick Rose, got Derrick Rose from Chicago, and they had like a 0.5% chance to win. Like, things like that happen sometimes. And like, if you stare at it hard enough, anything can turn into something weird.
But at the same time, like, there's been some years, like, obviously, you look back again, LeBron and Cleveland, like, you look at that sort of draft, and yes, there was an obvious number one. You knew that that was the guy you wanted him to be. You wanted to be number one so that you get him. But for this draft, you look at the 76ers, for instance. Like, they're like, oh crap, we're third. But are they really losing that much by now getting the third pick in the draft?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that, there's a lot of talent at the top of the draft, and I don't think there's like a super, super wide gap necessarily. I think Markelle Fultz is probably, a slight cut above for me. I think for a lot of people, when you look at the pool, but I mean, really two through, 10 or 11, maybe is, there's a lot of good players, and, it's going to come down to, fit and need. And, right now we're all we can do is really sort of speculate as to what teams will do, but I don't think the Sixers are in a bad position. I mean, they, get a top three pick, and they're going to get someone they like at that spot. So, yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of teams that will end up happy, at least in the short term.
Yeah, there was, for me, I'm watching the 76ers play earlier this year, and there were times where they looked like if they kept winning, they had the potential, not potential of getting an 8 seed, but at least fighting for like a 10 or 9 to potentially put themselves in the way for playoffs next year. Like, that isn't a bad Philadelphia basketball team, and them getting the third pick, I feel like is going to really improve that basketball team, depending on if they're smart with the pick.
Yeah, you know, I think, and you know, they're going to get, you know, Ben Simmons back from injury, which you know, will be, it'll add another wrinkle to it for sure. I mean, he should make them better, but they're also going to have to learn to play with him. He's a guy who, you know, dominates the ball a little bit, and they're going to also have to hope that Embiid stays healthy. You know, there's a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah.
You know, their roster is still kind of imbalanced, but they did, you know, they did get a little bit better. They had that one stretch last year where they played well. I don't think they're as far off as they have been in the past. But they're still, I think, still up and has to break right. I wouldn't put like any pressure on them necessarily to make the playoffs. Because, you know, you saw Minnesota last year. Same thing. People were like, oh, they got all these young guys. They made it to the playoffs this year. And they were still a year or two away.
I'm somebody, and I don't know, but I look at irony in certain things. And I always find it ironic that Lonzo Ball, as well as LeVar Ball, is talking about how Lonzo's going to be, you know, he's better than Michael Jordan ever wanted to be. He's the greatest basketball player to ever play. But they don't want him to be the number one pick because they don't want him to. You know what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't you say to be the greatest, you said you want to go, I want to be number one. I want to be go as the top pick in the draft to prove that I was the best player. It's kind of weird. Like, I look at that kind of like, wait, isn't that kind of ironic that you say you're the best player, but you don't want to be proven that you're the best player coming out of the draft?
Yeah, no, I think that's funny. Yeah, there's something to be said for that for sure. I mean, and I think it's probably just more about staying in the headlines, and I think it would be for them great, you know, if they could keep him local, just from in terms of like a branding standpoint. You know, you already kind of have the name equity and in that market. You know, it'll help the Lakers too in terms of like ticket sales.
Yeah,
but I don't know if there's, I'm not sure that he's going to be the number two pick. You know, I think the Lakers will, you know, look at De'Aaron Foxberry, and there's a lot of, you know, those two guys I think will get consideration. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it'll be funny if on draft night the Lakers don't take Lonzo. Like, I just would be curious to see how that unfolds.
I'm sitting here crossing my fingers, and I just wish Boston would take him just to see what the reaction would be on Twitter. Like, that's just me. I wish to see it. Like, for me, and that's the way I look at like even with Boston now in the playoffs. Like, I'm trying to figure out ways to get interested in this Cavs Celtics game, because We've pushed away the fact that anybody outside of the Cavs and the Warriors are going to be playing in the NBA Finals. And are we doing the Celtics an injustice by thinking like that?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Boston got a game. I don't think they have an answer for LeBron. I mean, no one really does. So it's tough to project too much beyond, you know, maybe they get one, and if they get one, then we can, you know, have that conversation again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they didn't mount much of a resistance in game one. You know, Boston was kind of, you know, throughout the playoffs, it hasn't been easy for them. I mean, it wasn't easy for them against Washington. You know, they dropped those first two games in Chicago. You know, like Boston, you know, they were the one seed, but I don't think their team has really earned, like, the full confidence of, you know, the viewing public necessarily. So I get it in that sense.
Jeremy Wu is joining us from Sports Illustrated. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeremy Wu. And now you swap over and you look at the Spurs, and that came out just probably maybe an hour or two ago that Kawhi Leonard may be questionable for game three. Is this something that, I mean, how much difference can he make in this basketball team right now if he's at, say, 60%?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be tough, you know, because they're not a team that, you know, likes to rush players back. I mean, I'd like to see him play. I don't know what he'll be at, but it is, you know, he has had almost an entire week since that last game. That's one thing about the playoffs. You know, the games are staggered so far apart that, you know, an injury like this, it's hard to know, I guess, from our vantage point, you know, where he'll be or where he won't be. But, I mean, I do think that if he can play, he's got to play. Because the way that Golden State was just able to kind of swarm LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, the Spurs didn't really – it wasn't necessarily their fault. They didn't really put up much of a fight either.
Yeah.
And if they go down 3-0, I mean, you know, that's it. You're not going to beat the Warriors, you know, four straight times.
No. Now, final question for you as we're about to let you go, and I'm going to ask you to be a small pitch man for this, because I'm curious as to the way that you would do this. If I were to say, look, Jeremy, we've got people right now that do not want to watch game two of the Cavs series. They do not want to watch game three of the Warriors series. They basically just want to sit out until you get Cavs versus Warriors. What would be a pitch that you would tell people, look, you need to watch these basketball games?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, sometimes it's not fun to watch blowouts for sure. But, I mean, we are, you know, watching, you know, LeBron, who might be the best player ever, you know, in the prime of his career. Yeah. And you never know. I mean, we never know when guys are going to get hurt or whatever. I mean, LeBron's been impeccably healthy, but you don't know. You just never know. So, I mean, I do think that, I mean, if you really like basketball, you know, it's good to appreciate, you know, him while he's at the top of his game. So there's that. And then the same thing with the Warriors. You can draw the same line. I mean, they are historically good. I think this is the best Warriors team over the last 3 years. And, I mean, last year they were historically, you know, they won the most games ever. So, you know, it's rare to see, you know, that type of collection of talent. And even though the results don't necessarily make it interesting, you know, it's still something worth following, I think. Because you want the DeGon to be like, damn, like, those are some great teams. And, you know, you want to have said that you watched it.
Like 10 years down the line, you look back and you go, they did play the Celtics in the NBA Conference Finals. I totally forgot about that. Like, I feel like that's going to be the place, because people are not tuning out because the numbers don't say like it's that case, but you're running the risk of it being, if you got, again, another scenario where the Warriors are up by 30 points with a minute to go in the half.
Right.
So, all right, Jeremy. Yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, you know, I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, the whole parity issue, but at least we'll get a good NBA final.
Yeah, that is the case, man. You can follow Jeremy on Twitter as Jeremy Wu. He's from Sports Illustrated, man. I appreciate you coming on with us, talking draft, talking playoffs.
Of course, man. Anytime. Appreciate
it. All right, man. Have a good one. Go over there, follow him at Jeremy Wu, Sports Illustrated. We appreciate him coming on.
240-9274. 1-800-239-9544. Let your voice be heard. This is The Fallout on Sports Radio 740.